Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome to the Pop Talk Radio Show. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Have we got a good one for you this weekend? It's a real mix of things, but I think you're going to really enjoy it because it gets to the heart of the matter of what life is all about. A little later on, it'll be five ways to feel more joy and confidence. Seems like people don't have a whole lot of hope anymore. And that's sad. When you give up hope, that is a part of life that keeps you going. It's that spark of life. So anyway, we're going to be talking about that. If you want less stress, there are ways to do it. And that's what we're going to try and do today. Managing your time better may be the key, and we'll find out why. And then also, the nature of longevity. We talk about longevity and how people live longer. Some people don't even take care of themselves and they live longer. Other people don't. But anyway, that's going to be our day, and we are going to have some great information for you. Stay with us. It's Pop Talk, and you know we do.
Visit radiologyinfo.org. You'll find easy-to-understand, up-to-date information on more than 260 radiology procedures, exams, and disease descriptions. Radiologyinfo.org also offers patient safety information, medical images, and videos of radiologists describing how to prepare and what to expect. There's even a section for children called Rad Info for Kids. Radiologyinfo.org is free and does not require registration and is available in English and Spanish. Best of all, radiologyinfo.org is continually reviewed by medical experts to ensure that it's accurate and up to date. Visit radiologyinfo.org today. Produced by the Radiological Society of North America and the American College of Radiology.
Well, we love springtime, right? But you know, we have to do how to deal with it. a couple of weeks ago, I asked the question, do you want to enrich your life? And maybe even a more simple and peaceful life. And Dr. Susan Smith-Jones gave us some 16 tips on how to accomplish that. Well, she's back with more ways to make our lives better. Dr. Jones is into holistic remedies and lifestyle. She's discovered new and proven ways in well-being and balanced living. With some 30 books authored, she aims to make our lives even better. So her latest is her internationally celebrated book called Uplifted, and we're going to do that today. Hi, Dr. Jones. As always, a pleasure having you with us on Pop Talk.
Well, thank you so much. And listen, I won't be able to go on the rest of the day unless you tell me, what movie was that song from?
Well, Younger Than Springtime. You know, I don't remember.
Oh, gosh.
But that, okay. I mean, it just...
I can sing it all, but... And I know it's a musical.
Yeah.
But, and someone out there will know instantly what it is. And what will happen is, when we're done visiting now, it will come to me afterwards.
Yeah. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Exactly.
All of a sudden it's there.
Exactly. Well, love your music.
Thank you. Well, I thought it was perfect to lead into our springtime ideas. And we did 16 of them. I mean, gosh, we had self-love and humor and unconditional love and taking stock of ourselves and goals and living in the moment and worrying less. Well, we got a bunch more today, right?
Yeah, we got, and these are my favorites, too.
Okay.
So here we go. How about enjoy me time?
What
now,
does that mean?
Time out is important,
okay.
And a little bit of selfish time to treat yourself or do exactly as you please sets you up for taking on all the constant demands we have every day in life. Balance in life is crucial, and all these things we're talking about will bring us a little bit more peace of mind in often crazy, chaotic days,
mm-hmm.
and we can do it.
Excellent. Okay,
The next is, I love this, frolic.
Frolic?
When's the last time you said that word?
A long time ago.
Yeah, I know. Now, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says to behave playfully or uninhibitedly, to romp. And I think all work and no play will stress anyone out. So make time for things you enjoy. And whenever possible, inject fun into situations that aren't particularly enjoyable, like put on some of your favorite music when you're doing the dishes. You know, approach life with a more playful attitude. And when was the last time you let your inner child come out and play and orchestrate your day?
And why can't we be kids once in a while, you know?
And every day. We can always find something rather than always being so serious about everything.
I got to be an adult. You know, gotta
exactly.
Who cares, you know?
Yes. Next would be three simple words, let it go. You know, there are some things you just can't change no matter how hard you try. So you need to know when to cut your losses and detach, just like Elsa does in the what movie?
Isn't that the one under the water?
Frozen.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, there you go. Now, next is resist guilt. Guilt is this negative emotion that really takes away our peace of mind.
Hmm.
And although it can motivate us, often in the wrong way, it's still a toxic emotion. So challenge the reasons for your guilt and make sure you aren't placing unnecessary pressure on yourself.
But it's hard to get rid of guilt. You know, we live in the past. I always love animals because they don't worry about what happened yesterday. And that's what we have to do, don't we? You know, move forward.
Yep, that's right. And a way to do that is because you can't think a negative thought at the same time you're being positive. The next is cultivate an attitude of gratitude. So instead of thinking about all these things for which you might have some guilt, focus on things in your life that you're grateful for.
Okay.
When you do that, it promotes inner calm. It reminds us that there are always positives. Sometimes we just have to nudge our awareness. So count your blessings. Failure is a really triggering word, and you want to see failure as a learning curve. Failure has lots of negative connotations, but actually everyone fails. How can you improve or learn anything if you never fail?
Yeah.
And a healthy attitude towards failure encourages bravery. And it's not something is a failure. Instead, it's what you tried something, but it didn't work. And, you know, there's a big difference. So, all right, you know, who was it? Thomas Edison? How many times did he fail at creating the light bulb?
Yeah.
It's
amazing because my dad told me, this was many, many years ago, he said his very first job, and he was just a kid, you know, when he got his first job, and he said there were three or four people there, and they would have picked only one person for that job. And they went through all of them, and each one was asked, you know, have you ever failed? And most of them, oh, no, I don't make mistakes, yada, yada. When he got to my dad, he said, yeah, I failed, but I keep trying, and he got the job.
He got the job, of course, because he was authentic and real and honest. Good for him. That's a great story. I'm never going to forget that one.
Yeah. And he did say, he said, you know, he said that he almost did it by mistake, you know, but he was trying to be honest about it.
Yes,
but they said, if what you did, if you don't fail, how are you going to learn something and get better at it?
That's right. Try it a different way, a better way.
Yeah.
Next is connect with others. Well, I think one of the true joys of life is sharing life with others and knowing that others get you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love my close friends that just totally understand me. We feel less alone when we connect to others, and feeling understood allows for this fantastic sense of well-being.
Yes, you're right. And when they get you, you don't feel like you have to explain yourself all the time, you know?
Yep, that's right. Now, let's skip over here to slow down.
Aww.
Why does everything need to be accomplished this moment? Often we place these unrealistic pressures on ourselves when there's no need to do that. Challenge your impatience, be mindful, and enjoy life in the moment.
I like that. I like that. Slow down.
And test your limits. Oftentimes people just want to sit right in their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you'll never know your true potential if you always stay in that comfort zone.
True.
As the old saying goes, it is better to look back and regret what you did than regret all the things you wished you had tried.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
yes.
You're right.
Now, in my book, Uplifted, I have an entire chapter with lots of studies on the health benefits of kindness and gratitude. So the next one is be kind.
Yeah.
It's free. It makes a huge difference when you're kind to others and to yourself. When you show kindness to someone else, you get an inner boost. And as my mom and grandmother always used to say to me, you want to live more by the golden rule.
Yeah.
So, and then here's a big one.
Okay.
We so often compare ourselves with other people.
Yeah.
Especially on TV and in the magazines and online. And the more we compare, the more we just lose ourselves.
And Dr. Jones, we do it in everything. How to dress, how to talk, how to achieve. It's like every part of our life is, you know, being the best, comparing to somebody else. Why can't we just be ourselves?
I know. So I want everyone to think about that. Forget what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
What do you want? We all have our own paths to follow. And we're all learning and going through life at our own unique pace.
Yeah.
So focus on your journey.
Okay.
And lose the stress of comparing yourself to what you think is going on in other people's lives. You don't really always know. This is a sure way to eliminate peace of mind. And then affirmations. Never denigrate yourself. Talk to yourself positively. And use affirmations. I have over 100 really good affirmations divided into different categories of our lives in Uplifted. And a good example of one that encourages peace of mind is, here's the affirmation, no matter what comes my way, I always find a way to get through it.
Uh-huh.
You want to keep it in the present tense. And that's a positive affirmation. So believe in yourself and remind yourself that you will be okay. And again, if you want tons and tons of great affirmations all written the way that they make the best effect on your subconscious mind, so you can refer to Uplifted. Now, this is easier said than done, but we all need to do this a little bit better.
Yeah. I've got one for you.
Okay.
Great things happen to those who don't stop believing, trying, learning, and being grateful.
Oh, that kind of says it all.
Yes.
I love that one.
Yes.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So save a little money as often as you can.
Oh, that's, lately that's hard.
Putting money aside is always a good idea. And if you can afford to save money regularly, do it. For example, you can set up something at your bank or however you would do this at your place of work where they take out a little money every month and you don't even realize it's gone. That's a cool way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of your favorites. Get enough sleep.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know. When we're tired and grumpy, nothing seems to go smoothly. Strive for those 8 hours of sleep per night to regenerate your body, and especially if you have any weight to lose. You sabotage weight loss when you don't get good sleep every night.
Yeah.
And then visualize, this kind of goes with the affirmation, visualize your goals and dreams. It was Albert Einstein who once said, or he told me this. No, he's kidding. Your imagination is a preview of your life's coming attractions.
Ooh.
So you want to see in your mind's eye, you know, close your eyes, visualize the end result of your goal accomplished. And then you want to assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled.
Mm.
That's nice.
Okay.
And then number 638 is pray and meditate on peace.
Boy, do we need that now.
More than ever before, I
yeah.
think. I do a little Bible reading every day, and I have some of my favorite passages in the Bible on peace, and I suggest that you do the same and commit them to memory. And if you're stressed out, meditate on these on the passage. Say them to yourself silently or out loud, and this will help keep you calm and positive. And one of my favorites, we've talked about this before, it's from Psalms 46:10. Everyone knows it, and it's three simple, calming words. It's peace, be still. Peace, be still. And if you're not driving and you are in a position to close your eyes and breathe slowly and deeply, then breathe in, long, slow, deep breath to the word peace. Just say silently in your mind or out loud if you're alone or even with people. And then when you exhale, slowly say, be still.
Huh.
Breathe in peace. Be still. You do this 3 to 5 minutes at the most, and you will be calm and relaxed and feel a very deep peace. So remember, peace, be still. You could also say stillness. Breathe in to still. Breathe out to nest. I like peace, be still.
Yeah, me too.
And then I've got two more.
Okay.
And then my final thought.
Okay.
I have 33 is faith. And one of my favorite quotes of all time is by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who once said, "The whole course of things goes to teach us faith. Whatever goes on in our lives
wow.
is just teaching us. Are we going to be building our faith or are we losing our faith?"
Yeah.
Always keep the faith and believe in what your eyes are not able to confirm yet. And something my grandmother taught me when I was young, and I have it memorized, is when she taught me about faith, is that faith is this invincible and invisible magnet
wow.
that attracts back to itself whatever it fervently desires and persistently expects.
Wow.
And each day is like a testimony of how much faith do we have today with whatever happens. Does it throw you way off course, or do you think, okay, this is God's way of setting my course in a better direction?
Mm.
You know, that goes with failure, too. This isn't going to work. It didn't work, but there's a much better way to do it.
Yeah.
So make faith your constant companion and cultivate it day in and day out. And then 34, before I get to final thoughts, is listen. Listen more.
Mm.
My grandmother always taught me that the greatest hunger of the human heart is to feel understood. And she said so often we just talk, talk, talk. Or when we're with someone, we look around, we're on our smartphone, we don't pay attention. And so she always said, honey, you're born with two ears and one mouth, so talk a little less and listen more. And when you just listen, too, when you just sit, say, with a cup of tea, a cup of nice chamomile tea,
mm-hmm.
and you breathe and you do your peace, be still, it's amazing the intuitive thoughts you can get that are with you all the time. But we're often just rushing around all day. We don't take time to tune into our 24/7 intuition. So, you know, these are all simple ways to live a little bit more peacefully, and I'll summarize it with three things.
Okay.
You know, that kind of summarizes all the things we've talked about. Is the most important ways to achieve peace of mind is, one, be true to yourself. That's what all these are about. Two is accepting that life is uncertain. And three, watching your thoughts, your thinking. Many of us mentally torture ourselves daily with the things we tell ourselves. Remember, don't denigrate yourself ever. Trust your thoughts a little bit less, unless it's an intuitive hunch. Pay less attention to negative thoughts and focus on what you're thankful for, and you will be well on your way to more inner peace of mind.
Why have we gone off track on so many of these things? Is it because we're so bombarded with information and technology and all this, we don't even take time to be still anymore?
No, we don't. And, you know, that old phrase is so true, silence is golden. You know, I bookend my day always in the morning. I like to do it in the evening, too. If I can't, morning is my most important time, where I just sit with some silence and deep breathing. I might read a passage in the Bible. I meditate on peace. I end with visualizing the end result of a goal, and then I turn it over to God, and I say, this or something better I now accept in my life, and I surrender my day to you and take charge of everything I think, feel, say, and do. But we are, if you watch any news broadcast,
oh,
there's hardly anything positive anywhere.
No.
And it just fills our mind. And make sure that when you go to bed at night, you don't want to watch the nightly news. You might think, well, it doesn't matter because I'm evolved and I don't let it bother me.
It's hard
not to be bothered by what you see on the news at night.
Yeah.
It's better to, like, read something like Uplifted And every day I give you throughout the book these little action steps that none of them take more than 12 minutes. The subtitle of Uplifted is 12 minutes to more joy, faith, peace, kindness, and vitality.
I love it.
I give you over 100 little things that will enrich every aspect of your life. They're cumulative. Every day you do one, and by the end of the program, you will be feeling mentally, emotionally, and spiritually better than ever.
Sounds great. Now, we want to let them know about your website, too.
Yes. Well, it's my name, SusanSmithJones.com. You can go to books in the navigation bar. You can find out how to get uplifted. Also, make sure you follow me on Twitter at SusanSmithJones. And sign up for my monthly Healthy Living newsletters. They're free, lots of great info on physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being.
See, that's the whole idea. I love the, because you always have so much information in those newsletters. It's going to take you a whole month to get through all of it till the next one. But it's good. It's good stuff.
No, yes, you can always, you know, go, as time permits, go 10 minutes here and there, and by the end of the month, you're done.
You get
them once a month at the end of the month for the following month.
I love it. As always, you're the best, Dr. Jones. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, as always. And we'll look forward to the next time, because you always give us the positives that will keep us going forward.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm still thinking about that song.
Oh, Younger Than Springtime. I'll find out.
Yes.
Take good care now.
I can sing it all, but, you know, don't you, like Oklahoma, oh, what a beautiful morning. They just don't write the way they used to.
They sure don't.
And maybe many people listening have no idea what we're talking about.
That's okay. Then they'll look it up and find
out. That's right.
Take good care now, Dr.
Thank
Jones.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
You betcha.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Once again, that's SusanSmithJones.com, and sign up for her newsletter. It's free. So now we're also going to find out, is there a nature of longevity? Let's deal with it, and that's coming up.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. But for the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Life-changing and devastating because sarcoma is cancer. Sarcoma is a cancer of bone and soft tissue more prevalent in children than in adults. More than 6,000 people lose their lives to sarcoma each year. Treatment options for sarcoma are limited, and new therapies are desperately needed. More research and increased awareness is necessary to find a cure for a cancer that you probably didn't even know existed until now. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is determined to help those affected by this forgotten cancer, to bring hope to the children and adults whose lives are forever changed by a word they had never heard before. Please help us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on sarcoma and the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, please go to curesarcoma.org.
Well, that's what we keep doing on Pop Talk. We give you a sign of the times and what's happening and information that'll make your life better. But do you know what an exosome is? Now, you might find it pretty important to your health and maybe longevity, too. Douglas Mulhall has a warning that we need to know about exosomes since we're surrounded by threats, you know, like in our drinking water, snacks, baby food, consumer products, even wildfire smoke, which we know about in California. So it's time to protect ourselves. And Douglas Mulhall, who co-founded the first biotech company to restore elastic in our arteries, wants to get us in the know with his book called Discovering the Nature of Longevity. Nice to have you with us, Douglas. It's great.
Mary Jane, it's wonderful to be back with you.
You betcha. I think we need to revamp what an exosome is, because I never knew anything about it until I talked to you.
Well, it's actually quite easy. We wouldn't exist without them.
Okay, that's good.
Exosomes are like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So they can be, they're absolutely necessary for life. They're in every living thing. They are 1,000 times more plentiful than cells. And they can do great things for us. They keep us alive, but they are also disease vectors, and they can make us sick. So that's why I call them the Jekyll and Hyde factor. And that's why they're so critical to our longevity. And so the thousands of research papers that have actually been published on exosomes over the past 75 years, but actually, they only really came into the forefront in the past 25 or 30 years when it was discovered that they have therapeutic value and are being used, actually, to create novel therapies where there's an unmet need. So they're actually being applied in medicine today with sometimes miraculous results.
So now, they're in our body. Well, what are they, though? I mean, I know what a cell is, and I know, you know, what's in our body. Where do they hide? Do they hide? Is they roll around in our blood? What are they?
Well, they're hiding in plain sight, Mary Jane.
Okay.
They're all over the place. So an exosome is known by many, many different names. Its scientific name is a membrane vesicle. But actually, the only thing that people really need to know in terms of what they are and where they come from is that cells manufacture them. So thousands of different types of cells manufacture thousands of different types of exosomes. And these used to be thought of as garbage collectors that took the junk out of cells and then got rid of it through your kidneys. Well, it turns out nothing could be further from the truth.
Uh-oh.
Actually, it turned out that, this is good news. It turned out that these are programmed packages. They're like FedEx packages. So they each have a barcode attached to them, comprised of hundreds or sometimes thousands of tiny proteins that are put into these tiny little blobs of fat by cells, and the mix of the proteins tells the exosome what its job is and where it's supposed to go. So the cell then releases these exosomes out into the space outside the cells, and they go to the place that they're instructed to go by the cell, and they enter other cells and deliver the instruction package. So if you think of a FedEx package that is has a software in it that, you know, it's delivering it to another location, say a memory stick, that's exactly what happens. So the cell that receives it takes out the memory stick, plugs it in, and takes its instructions. So actually, exosomes are the stuff that make our body operate.
Okay,
this is the key thing.
Are we born with these exosomes? Are they produced by the cells?
Before we're born with them, the very first cells that go towards making a human being, and the sperm and the egg that go together, all have exosomes in them. They all release exosomes. So you can't have sex without them. You can't have kids without them. They're part of the whole process of life and of death. So they, right through our entire lifetime, they basically control how long and well we live.
Do we produce more?
Yes, we're producing them all the time.
Okay.
In vast quantities.
Uh-huh.
Literally each cell produces hundreds and hundreds of exosomes every day.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are, most of them are short-lived because they're programmed to go somewhere else, do their business, deliver their packages, and that's it. But I want to give you a concrete example of how they can be good for us and how they can be bad for us.
Uh-huh.
So when you get an infection, your cell sends out a help message. It says, help, help, I'm being attacked. So the very first thing that happens, actually, is that the cell that's under attack releases these exosomes as a please help me signal. And that signaling is communicated to the immune cells around it, and that's what gives you your immune response. So this little program packages tells the immune cells, help, help, help. And the immune cells themselves actually release other exosomes that run to the rescue and are the first line of defense against infection. So that's the really good news, is that these exosomes are actually programmed to let our cells ask for help when they're being attacked and also to defend themselves against attackers. Now, on the other side, this is a little bit like Cold War strategy. It's like weapons of mass destruction and mutually assured destruction. You've got this balance of terror because on the other side of it, infections also use exosomes. They use exosomes to infect cells.
Oh, dear.
So, again, you've got this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing going on. Now, so that's infection. But then let's talk about, the common diseases of aging, so the conditions of aging.
Like cancer.
Go ahead.
Like cancer.
Let's first talk about heart disease. In heart disease, everyone's heard of cholesterol and buildup and all that stuff, and you're told that cholesterol builds up in your arteries first, and that's what leads to heart disease. That's simply not true in most cases. Actually, what happens is that the walls of your cells, the walls of your arteries are actually damaged before anything else is, and that damage inside the wall of the artery is what provokes this whole injury inflammation response that then leads to exosomes running to the rescue to deliver inflammatory substances that try and clean up the damage. Well, guess what? These little exosomes are little blobs of fat. So if the damage is chronic, like it is in heart disease, where the artery is constantly damaged, you get this buildup of fats. Well, where are the fats coming from? They're coming from the exosomes that are delivering the inflammatory substances. So exosomes are major players in the initiation and the acceleration of heart disease. So that's a good example.
Okay, but do they fight each other?
Exactly. There's a war going on in your body all the time, this balance of terror between the good guys and the bad guys.
Okay, how do I program myself or do something to my body to do the good guys?
That's a great question. Let me give you a class example of this.
Okay.
Way back in the 1980s, there was an epidemic of bacterial meningitis in Cuba, but it wasn't just in Cuba. It was in different parts of the world. A lot of people have heard about it, and it has killed hundreds of thousands of children, and it was massacring children in Cuba. They were dying in droves, you know, thousands and thousands of them. Well, as you know, there was an embargo against Cuba for almost everything, and so the Cubans had to figure it out themselves. And incredibly, one of the very few innovative, shall I say, capitalistic things that Fidel Castro did was to invest his American dollars in biotechnology. Most people don't know that. And so he had great laboratories. And the scientists at the Finlay Institute in Cuba actually used these laboratories to discover what was causing the bacterial meningitis. And what they discovered was that the antibody against bacterial meningitis was, guess what, in these exosomes that were being released by cells to defend themselves.
Oh.
They were able to isolate those antibodies in the exosomes and develop a vaccine. And that vaccine, if you're not going to believe this, won the gold medal of the World Intellectual Property Association. So basically, the world's communist nation won the capitalist country's award for entrepreneurial spirit by coming up with this fantastic exosome-based vaccine. And they were 20 years ahead of their time, because it wasn't until 20 years later that anyone else in the world actually started seeing that these could be used for therapeutic purposes. So the Cubans were actually 20 years ahead of their time.
Okay, well, but hold on a sec. Then why, or maybe it was used, or the exosomes were used in the vaccines for the COVID?
No, they weren't. That was a completely completely different technology. They were not used in the COVID vaccine.
Nope. Why not?
Well, there was some experimenting with it. But what they decided to go with, as you know, was the microRNA that went directly into the cells. Having said that, there's a huge amount of experimentation going on now with exosomes for various vaccines, and the proof is in the pudding. It's already been proven that this works. The interesting thing is, I think, that the Cubans did it on the cheap. And it wasn't until Novartis bought the rights to the Cuban vaccine and started charging a minor fortune for it that it actually became quite popular. Mm. So again, you know, it didn't become popularized until Big Pharma figured out a way to, you know, make money with it.
Out of curiosity, can I, as an individual, not a research place or a biotech company or anything, can I do something in my body that says, hey, you bad exosomes, get out of here, and the good ones take over?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that people already know about.
Right.
You know, just because, for example, anything to do with improving your immune capabilities is going to improve your body's capacities to manufacture the right kinds of exosomes that will defend you against infection. So, you know, just because exosomes are a new concept that people haven't heard about doesn't mean that the, you know, the good old methods don't work. They do indeed. This just proves the mechanism by which the body is using healthy foods and exercise and all the things that we know about in order to improve your healthy longevity. So it's actually a vote in favor of all those good things that that people are doing for themselves.
Okay, so just eat right, exercise right, sleep right, drink a lot of water, all that kind of stuff.
Well, there's a little more to it than that because, you know, when you get into the microbiology of exosomes, then, you know, biotechnology starts to take over, and hopefully we're going to end up with a whole lot more solutions that will significantly extend human healthy longevity because we've harnessed the power of these exosomes in order to repair the things in our body that are damaged during the aging process. And so there's a lot of work going on in that area. So the answer to your question is twofold. Yes, you know, basically live long enough to live forever, and that is keep doing these good things, and at the same time, keep tracking these biotechnologies that are being used to accelerate and exploit the good points about exosomes.
Okay, what is the technology, though? And how do I find out more information about the technology?
Well, there's a really easy one, and that is you can go into any of the large language model chatbots and say, please give me the latest studies on exosomes and human longevity, and you will get the up-to-date information. That's the wonderful thing about AI is that everyone can use it. You just need to ask the right question.
Okay. So what do you do? I mean, just out of, it says discovering the nature of longevity. Now we know it's exosomes is part of it, right?
Right.
It's not the full answer.
And if you, no, and if you want to read more about it, read the book. Because that's one reason I wrote the book was I, and oh, there's an important thing that I haven't mentioned, but I do discuss this quite a bit in the book. Women have been leading exosome research. It's an area that women have really taken over. For example, Elena Ikowa, Professor Elena Ikowa at Harvard University, is one of the world's leaders in discovering exactly which protein combinations in exactly which exosomes are triggering the process that leads to the beginning of heart disease. And she's been doing this for the past 20 years. Kathy Shanahan at King's College in London is her colleague, and she's also been working on the same thing. And in both cases, pharmaceuticals companies have actually licensed their work. So it is one area in a male-dominated field that women have really been pushing the major advances in. And again, I tell that story in the book.
Okay. Is there a way to produce exosomes, the good ones, and put them into the body?
That's exactly what Elena Ikowa
is doing.
That's precisely what she's doing. They have found a protein combination that can interfere with the production of the bad proteins that trigger this process. So that's precisely what she's doing. And that's why one of the world's largest pharmaceuticals companies out of Japan has actually licensed some of that work, and they're working on it right now.
So, you know, like, why aren't we hearing about this and getting some of that into our hands so we can do better in our bodies?
That's why I wrote the book, Mary Jane.
Okay. I get it. But that does, I'll read your book and then what? You know, I still can't get my hands on them.
Well, and as I said before, you know, it's two steps. The first thing is people need to keep doing what they're doing. And the second thing is, it's important that everyone keeps themselves informed. I can't emphasize that enough. I want to tell you something, and you already know this. There's only one person who's really going to take care of the patient, and that's the patient.
Okay, you know? I understand that. I mean, we know all the good stuff. I'm not knocking anything that you're saying. I really am not.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that patients need to do their own research. And the place to start on that is going in to these AI services and asking these questions about what is the most recent up-to-date research, 2024, for example, on using exosomes to address the diseases of aging. And you can get into a conversation with these AI bots on that, and you can inform yourself quite quickly and save yourself about, oh, I don't know, a year and a half of research.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
That's how long it would take.
Okay, what is Douglas Mulhall doing to make sure that the right kind of exosomes are doing a good job in his body?
Well, we are actually working with a couple of universities on that exact point. And so I'm involved with some colleagues at a number of universities who are working on exosomes in various diseases of aging. So that's my contribution. And the other contribution is to make sure that people hear about it, and there's more and more support for this kind of research, not only in the academic research community, but also in the startup pharmaceutical community.
Okay. So does your body, I mean, have you had problems with your body that exosomes are doing the nasty instead of the good?
Everybody does.
Okay.
Everybody, anybody who has a chronic condition is has an imbalance between the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There's no question about it.
So
they can't emphasize enough. They are the messengers. So they're carrying the instructions that that lead to both your body being healthy and your body being sick.
So why are these exosomes being sent out to have cancer cells to invade healthy cells? I don't get it.
Well, you know something? It's a little ingenious little trick that that cancer has figured out. Exosomes, because they operate everything in the body, are regarded by cells as neutral. They're not seen as an enemy, so they don't usually provoke an inflammatory or an immune response unless the exosome is programmed to make them do that. So the result of that is that cancer cells and viruses have evolved to hijack exosomes. So what they do is, like a virus, for example, will enter an exosome. It'll cloak itself in an exosome so that it's accepted into a cell, and then the virus will do its damage from there. Pretty smart, eh?
Yeah, doggone it.
So this is a billion, you know, billion-year-old evolution, and there is some evidence that actually exosomes were the original protocells. So before complex cells came along, there were actually these single unit protocells that came along before cells, and then they began to specialize, and as they specialized, they joined together to do different tasks, and they evolved into cells. So basically, exosomes may have been the original cells and preceded cells, and now it's the other way around. The cells use exosomes as their communication method, which, you know, makes perfect sense.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, the child, you know, imitating the mother.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that we can find a way to trip up the bad ones instead of the good ones.
That has been done, as I mentioned. The Cubans did it in 1986, and there's vast amounts of money being poured into exosome vaccines, and I think in the next few years you're going to see some major breakthroughs.
Really think so?
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind.
Okay. Because, you know...
And women are leading the way.
I believe me, they lead the way in a lot of places, but they don't get the credit for it. But, you know, the whole idea, I mean, it's amazing to me that these exosomes can do both things. You know, you always think of cells do one thing, other cells do another thing, but exosomes can do everything, and some good and some bad.
Well, if you look at how science works, that's the problem that science has, eh, is that it can be used for good or bad purposes. It's the same with an exosome.
So how can we fight some of the bad stuff? I mean, the last time you and I talked, we talked about air filtration and water filtration and what you eat and chelation therapy. All of these, you said, were good things to do, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep.
Okay. But how do I start? I mean, how does a person start? So we're listening to you, say, for the first time. I've talked to you before, which has been great. And they're listening. They say, okay, so, you know, Douglas, where do I start? What do I do?
Well, I tell you something. Most people who live in urban areas, the best two things that you can do for yourself is this. Most people spend 85% of their lives indoors.
Yeah.
And now, with people, you know, so many people working at home, they're spending a lot of their time, you know, in their homes, a lot more time than they used to. So, amazingly enough, what this means is you're living in a controlled environment that you can control. There's some things that you can't control, but two of the things that you can control is the quality of the air in your home and the quality of the water in your home.
Okay.
So the very first thing that I would do is put a high-quality air filtration, either for people who don't have central air or, you know, air
and heat.
Air filtration systems, yeah. Then they can actually use portable filters,
okay.
Filtration systems. But they have to be what's known as HEPA filters, which are very high-quality filters. The filters that are in your air conditioning system and in most HVAC systems, you know, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, you can forget about them. They're designed to protect the machinery, but they're not designed to protect you.
Okay.
So get a good filter, mm-hmm. and make sure that you change your filters often. It's one of the best investments you'll ever make, and you'll feel better for it.
Okay.
And why is that? That's because the tiny little air pollution particles that get accumulated in your house and have a higher level of pollution indoors than outdoors can be filtered out.
Okay.
And this is very important because these things contain a lot of toxins, including a lot of heavy metals. So
now, I'm going to interrupt you simply because we're really, really short on time here. So
sure.
We've got something for the air. Water filters, what are the best ones? Complete whole house water filters?
Hey, yeah, well, that's what I have. I've got it right coming into the house. So we've got, you know, UV plus we've got micron filtration. It depends on where you live and the type of stuff that's in your water. But go to Consumer Reports and look for the best filters. They're a reliable source on that.
Fantastic. Now, you have a website, so let's give them that website.
The website is natureoflongevity.com. It's all one word, natureoflongevity.com.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm happy to say that for the third time since the book was published in a year, we hit number one a few weeks ago. So in three bestseller categories on Amazon. So things are looking up.
Well, let's put it this way. It's just the beginning of the information that we need. So this is going to be a TBA, a TBC, to be continued. Okay?
Absolutely.
And I want to keep with you on top of all the research that's being done.